Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear friends, today we have the solemnity of our Lord's ascension into heaven, a holy day of obligation here in this diocese on this Thursday. And we rejoice in this wonderful blessing that we have to come to Holy Mass because, as Pope St. Leo the Great tells us, our Lord's ascension into heaven is proof that we too will ascend into heaven. As he who is our head has gone before us, so we shall follow him. As we know, all we have to do is keep his commandments and live good lives. And as we see in today's gospel, and do all we can to preach the kingdom, going forth, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't shall be condemned. Those are very powerful words. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What about all those people who do not believe, who do not acknowledge? St. Mark tells us they shall be condemned. And all these people who say they're atheists or they don't believe or they used to be Catholics or they this, that, or the other thing. Oh, our world is in terrible state. They have no faith. They do not believe in Jesus' ascension. Doesn't mean anything to them. Just another day. And sadly, what will it mean someday when they die? Will they ascend into heaven? Only God knows. That's why we need to pray. In divine intimacy, Father Gabriel of St. Magdalene says, "The ascension then is a feast of joyful hope, a sweet foretaste of heaven. By going before us, Jesus, our head, has given us the right to follow him there someday. And we can even say with St. Leo, in the person of Christ, we have penetrated the heights of heaven. As Christ crucified, we died to sin. As in the risen Christ, we rise to the life of grace. So too are we raised up to heaven in the ascension of Christ. This vital participation in Christ's mysteries is the essential consequence of our incorporation in him. He is our head, we are his members. We, as his members, are totally dependent upon him and intimately bound to his destiny. God, who is rich in mercy, says St. Paul, for his exceeding charity wherewith he loved us, has quickened us together in Christ and has raised us up and has made us sit together in the heavenly place through Christ Jesus. Our right to heaven has been given us. Our place is ready. It is for us to live in such a way that we may occupy it someday." What beautiful words, right? Our place is in heaven. It is our right. As we are baptized in Christ and we are incorporated into his mysteries, we shall rise with him someday and be with him in the heavenly kingdom. Didn't he say, "I go to prepare a place for you"? He has a place for us. It's already marked out. All we have to do is live as Jesus has asked us. In the Alleluia today, we get the passage from Psalm 67. "Ascending on high, he hath led captivity captive." Ascending on high, he hath led captivity captive. For many years, I just passed over that. I didn't sound it nice, but what does it mean? Ascending on high, he hath led captivity captive. What it means is, it goes back to the ancient days when a ruler, a king, an emperor, a general would conquer a land, and then they would march them back to Rome in chains, and all the people who were in chains, they had been conquered, were now the slaves of Rome. and they would be paraded through the streets. The spoils of war, they were the captives, and they led the captives into captivity in Rome. And all the Romans would cheer because their enemies were now their captives. Well, taking that analogy, we have the same thing with Jesus Christ. He has led captivity captive. He has gone to limbo, as it were, to the place where all those who had died lived, and they were good souls. They were captives in a way, and Jesus has delivered them. They are his captives, and now he brings them joyously, not as slaves or in chains. He brings them joyously into heaven. He has led his captives into captivity. Captivity not no more in disgrace, but in joy, the captivity of heaven. So in a way, we are the captives of Jesus Christ. He has redeemed us. He has sacrificed himself, and he has won our freedom, right, for heaven. So that's a wonderful passage, that Jesus has led captivity captive into heaven. And we are the spoils of his redemption. He died on the cross with his precious blood for the whole human race. The whole human race should be saved. But of course, we have to cooperate. Jesus has done his part, and he has led captivity captive, and all those souls who had died before Christ, when the gates of heaven were closed, now because of the redemption, now are brought to heaven. They are the captivity of Jesus Christ, and to the cheers of all the saints in heaven and the angels. I won't say saints because at that time they weren't in heaven yet. Now they'll all be cheering one another, joyously happy. So we see the greatness of ascension. We see the sweet sorrow of Christ's ascension. They had asked Our Lady during her life whether she was sorry that Jesus was leaving them, as all the apostles were. But she said no, she was not sorry, because she remembered what Jesus says, "If you love me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father." So all of us today, if we love Jesus like Our Lady, we would be glad because he goes to the Father. Sure, our sadness and the apostles' sadness and Our Lady was sad that Jesus was leaving them, but they were also glad because Jesus is now going back to heaven, to the Father. He's told us, "You would be glad for me because I go now back to the Father," and where he sits at the right hand. And he goes and awaits us as his captives so that we too will go to heaven. And our sorrow, Jesus told us, will be turned to joy. "Amen, I say to you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, but you shall be sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy." So our sorrow now is with us in the world, as it was with the apostles that Jesus had left them, but their sorrow will be turned to joy. Jesus had promised them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. They would be baptized by the Holy Spirit, not just with water, but water and the Holy Spirit. So now they go back to Jerusalem. That's what the angels are talking about. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here? Jesus has risen from the dead." And they were commissioned to go back to Jerusalem and pray and await the coming of the Messiah. And that's what they're going to do. And then their sorrow will be turned to joy. They will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they will go to the very utter ends of the world, as Jesus had said, and as St. Mark had said, that they would go and preach the gospel. Jesus said to them that night, and he said, "Go ye into the whole world, teach the people, teach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." So this is what we have to do today. This is a commission. The apostles were given this commission by Jesus to go into the whole world. We're no different. And we should examine ourselves to see what we can do about spreading the kingdom of God, especially nowadays, where people get so smart. They think they're so smart. Oh, I don't believe in God. One church is as good as another, right? Everybody goes to heaven. Or there is no heaven. You just go into the ground. So we too, when we hear those words, we should get a little excited, I think, and get our blood boiling and say, how can you be so foolish? You could tell them not to be so foolish, because certainly with the teachings of Jesus Christ and the Gospels and the witnesses of 2,000 years in the church, we know the truth. We know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He came to save our souls. He suffered and died on the cross. He established his church. He sent the Holy Spirit to enlighten his apostles. They went through the whole world and preached the gospel. And within 300 years or so, all the Roman Empire was conquered for Christ. And the next several hundreds of years, thousands of years, in fact, we know the whole world, the whole of Europe was Christian, right, to the ends of the earth. So just in the mid 16th century, they discovered other parts of the world, like the Americas, and they still sent the people. But for the Protestant Revolution, the whole world would be Catholic. But for our Lord allowed that heresies to come about and bring trouble in his church, but he will bring good out of it. Hopefully, as he said, they will all be one. So let us do all we can to make all those who no longer believe in Jesus Christ and his church, founded on the apostles, that they too would believe, right? Or else will they be able to save their souls? We know the teaching of the church. Outside the church, there is no salvation. Where else are they going to get Jesus Christ? Where are they going to get the forgiveness of sins? Where are they going to get the Holy Eucharist? Where are they going to get the absolute teaching about the truth, about contraception and homosexuality and all that, and marriage? So many faiths don't believe what the truth is. They don't believe the Catholic teaching on faith. So, my friends, we have a mandate. Go out to the whole world and teach. He that is baptized and believes shall be saved. He that is not shall not be saved. This is why Our Lady came to Fatima, because she knew that many souls did not believe. They were offending God, even offending God in some religions, not doing what her son wanted them to do. So we need to pray for them, to pray and sacrifice, so that all these souls would believe in Jesus Christ and his church and be saved. May the Lord bless you.